This morning's going to be a little different. Might be emotional for you. We're going to suspend our teaching through Jonah for just 1 week as we talk about the sign of the times. We've had an event that happened this week, that happened on Wednesday, that has shaken many people to the core, that's shaken this country to the core, and it needs to be talked about. There are people who said, you should not speak about this from the pulpit, and to those people I say, get away from me, you coward. We will speak about these things from the pulpit. We will speak about the signs of the times and the days in which we live. You need to be aware. You need to be awake. You need to be told. Our verse for this morning are going to be real simple. It's actually a challenge. It's a challenge to you. It's a challenge to me. It's a challenge to the church. And it's in Matthew. It's Matthew 16. It's really simple. I'm not going to go over the entire thing about the context of what's going on, which is the Pharisees and the Sadducees are coming to Jesus and they're demanding a sign. And what Jesus tells them is the challenge for us, right? So in Matthew chapter 16, finally in verse 2, this is Jesus' response to the Pharisees and the Sadducees. And he says, when it is evening, you say, it'll be fair weather for the sky is red. And in the morning, it'll be stormy today for the sky is red and threatening. You know how to interpret the appearance of the sky, right? You know what the weather's going to be like. But you cannot interpret the signs of the times. An evil and adulterous generation seeks for a sign, but no sign will be given to it except the sign of Jonah. See how I snuck Jonah in? So that's what we're going to be talking about, the signs of the times. Let's pray this morning. Lord, I give this morning to you. I pray, Lord, that your words be spoken. I pray, Lord, that your spirit move us. I pray, Lord, that your spirit speak to us. And I pray, Lord, that we come away today emboldened and strengthened and encouraged, not to hide away, not to fall away, not to be discouraged or depressed, but with an understanding and the knowledge that we can stand strong and stand firm and speak loudly, even in the darkness, even against evil, and our voices will make a difference. When the words that we speak come from the Word of God, and are strengthened and empowered by the Spirit of God, when we do it to glorify God, evil will never win. So I thank you for this, Lord, and I put this warning in your hands. I thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. You've heard the phrase, the shot heard around the world. If you're a history person, if you like history, you probably know it. If you're an American, I mean, it has to do with the Revolutionary War. I would hope that you know the phrase. When our country was created, you could say that this happened during the birth pains of the creation of our country, the creation of our nation. That's when someone fired a shot. It was at the Battle of Lexington and Concord. It was on April 19th, 1775, and it started the American Revolution and started our fight for independence. They don't know all the details. They honestly, history is back and forth on who fired the shot and stuff like that. None of it really matters. The point is there was a shot that was heard around the world. The actual phrase comes from a poem by Ralph Waldo Emerson. The poem is called Concord Hymn. And in it he says, by the rude bridge that arched the flood, their flag to April's breeze unfurled. Here once the embattled farmers stood and fired the shot heard round the world. They also used the phrase for the assassination of Archduke Franz Ferdinand in 1914, which kicked off World War I. And believe it or not, the phrase is also associated with the game-winning home run hit by Bobby Thompson for the New York Giants in 1951, which won the National League pennant. So he got two things, war and baseball. But sadly now, the phrase has a current application, and honestly, it makes my heart hurt. I've been shell-shocked since Wednesday. I don't know about you guys. It's been tough when I first saw the news. I thought I was watching like maybe an AI-generated video, or it was something fake, right? I'm at work. And what are you supposed to do at work? You're supposed to work. You're supposed to be doing your job and helping the business, but it was a little difficult. I couldn't speak to a lot of the people at work about these things. Thankfully, the Lord answered a lot of prayers because Eddie was sort of in the same situation and he needed someone to speak to. So Eddie calls me and Eddie have a conversation over the phone about what's going on. Neither one of us, you know, we needed someone to talk to figure this out, but it seemed unreal. It didn't seem, you know, it's possible. What was I watching? Was this a dream? Did this really happen? Did someone just murder and assassinate one of the most outspoken voices of freedom and proponent of free speech we've had in this nation since Martin Luther King? Charlie Kirk held court for the most part on college campuses. He didn't just speak at college campuses. We saw him at a church. But he held court for the most part on college campuses, and he offered a safe spot for those who agreed with him. And believe it or not, he offered a safe spot for those who didn't agree with him, to come and share their burdens and their doubts and to challenge the existing ideologies. And he listened to them and they listened to him as he shared. And for the most part, you know, except for a few people here and there who would never stop shouting or stuff like that, it was done civilly. And it was all done in the hope of unity. He gave everyone a spot at the table, as it were. Even the young man who shot and murdered him. I don't know if you guys know this, but a year previous, that young man was disrupting his crowd in almost the same area, in the same state, when he was speaking in the college. And he had the bullhorn. And every time someone was trying to speak, they had the mic, and they were trying to ask Charlie questions, and Charlie was trying to answer. This guy was interrupting everything with a bullhorn. And Charlie said, "Hey, you want to speak so bad, come up front." So he got the guy to come up front, and he got the guy to stand in front of the mic and speak to him. The guy wanted to challenge the idea of being able to deport terrorists from other countries without due process. Charlie said they had due process, right? They went back and forth about what the law says and what the law states. He gave that gentleman a spot at the table that allowed that gentleman to talk. A year later, that gentleman shot him. But Charlie gave everyone a chance to be heard. And again, he did that regardless of whether or not they agreed with him or they didn't agree with him. Because Charlie believed in the importance of dialogue. He believed in a good faith debate. And he prioritized reaching young Americans, specifically college-age Americans, because colleges today are turning out young socialists left and right. So Charlie was a bold freedom fighter who knew more about America and the Constitution and the freedoms that come from that than most everybody in this room combined, probably. And if you've heard him talk about it, you understand that. And this was all fueled by his faith in Christ Jesus, which he shared unashamedly. As a matter of fact, as you just saw in that video, Charlie Kirk said himself, what he wanted to be remembered for above everything else was his faith in Jesus, his courage and faith. Well, he was courageous, and that came from his faith. It tells us in God's word, he says, "Have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not be frightened, do not be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go." See, it's only through faith that we can even be strong and courageous. It's only through our faith knowing that God is with us. But yet because Charlie was such outspoken, and because he wouldn't back down from the truth, because of these things that he spoke of, because of his faith, even many people, mainly left-wing progressive liberals, young college-age socialists, they slandered his name. They made their threats. They threw their tantrums. And ultimately, when nothing else seemed to work and they couldn't win the argument, because they would never win the argument, because truth always wins out over lies, and Charlie wouldn't back down from the truth, they murdered him. Right, George Orwell says, "In the time of deceit, telling the truth is a revolutionary act." Well, guess what? Charlie was a revolutionary. He was a revolutionary. Because we live in a time of deceit. Charlie was a missionary. He was an evangelist. He was a believer in Jesus. He was a truth teller. Some are now calling him a modern-day John the Baptist. if you've seen some of those posts recently. He was a prophet of truth. Let me tell you what he wasn't. He wasn't a political activist. He wasn't a racist. Right? He wasn't anything that the left says that he is. He was probably the polar opposite of exactly what they said he was. And everybody who met him and everybody who knew him and everybody that heard him speak were changed and encouraged and emboldened by what he said and what the Lord was doing through him. He spoke with authority, the kind of authority that comes not from power, but from truth and character and humility. A life lived in submission to Scripture, that's the authority that he spoke in. I saw him speak back in 2021, I think it was, 4 years ago, when the house church brought him here into Snohomish. Charlie was 27 years old, I believe, at the time. And it's very rare that you watch a 27-year-old speak who has the authority to capture the attention of the entire room. Everyone at that church listened. Everyone at that church was changed. He floored everyone. I've heard it said that they murdered him, they assassinated him, not because of what he said, but because our children listened. In other words, he was changing lives. He was changing lives through his faith. He was leading people to Christ. And in that, he was emboldening people to stand up and speak the truth and get involved in their cities and in their states and in politics. Listen, Satan just wants to destroy, but it's God who changes lives. Right? God makes you a new creation. That's what was happening through Charlie. And I'm angry. I'm angry. Maybe you're angry too. Right? Maybe that anger hasn't left yet. It may not leave for a while. But I'm angry. I'm angry because of what our country has become. Right? Where evil knows it can't win the argument, so it just silences the truth. It assassinates it. It tells us in John 3:19 that people love the darkness rather than the light because their works were evil. See, and that's a truth. Darkness doesn't like light. Evil does not like good. You saw this after they murdered Charlie. And yes, I know I'm saying they. I keep saying they. You're going to have to get used to that. Because I know it was one kid. If everything turns out to be correct, one 22-year-old young adult. But in truth, it isn't. It's not. The actions of this cowardly murderer were influenced by demonic doctrine. Right? He'd been deceived. And these actions have been perpetuated by a lost world that doesn't want anyone to have a voice that disagrees with the collective, to borrow a Star Trek reference. Right? And the collective is supported and funded mainly by the left. And they called for blood and they got blood and they're happy about it. And we saw that after he died. We could sit here today and spend our entire time going over the comments of people who were happy and joyful over death. People from this state. People from our political offices in this state. There's a lot of people who woke up the next day after posting these comments about how happy they were that found out that they didn't have a job anymore. Because their work wasn't as happy about their comments as they were. And they didn't stand for that. And a lot of people lost their jobs because of it. Right? They called for blood. They got blood. They're happy about it. They cheered about it. They laughed about it. Republican House Speaker Mike Johnson asked the House to observe a moment of silent prayer for Charlie Kirk. Charlie Kirk, a human being, a husband, a father of two young daughters, right? Who was killed in an act so heinous that even some liberals were heartbroken by it, which I know is hard to believe. And after that moment of silence, Representative Lauren Boebert insisted on a public spoken prayer for Kirk, stating that silent prayers get silent results. She wanted this public spoken prayer, and that's when in the House, pardon the phrase, but all hell broke loose. Right? Groans and shouting by the Democrats, they were saying, no, and he deserved it, and we won't let you pray. Listen, God said, my house shall be a house of prayer for all people. Obviously, the House, politically speaking, it's not God's house. Though there are those within it who are born again, and children of God, and who are fighting for the truth. they did get the public prayer, even over the complaints and the protests of some of the Democrats. I want you to understand this. There is a difference between good and evil. There is a difference between light and darkness. There is a difference between right and left. It was seen over social media after Charlie was killed. Evil rejoiced, good wept. Darkness laughed, light mourned. The right held candlelight prayer vigils, while the left refused to pray and mocked those who did. Just down in Seattle, they spray painted a message on the brick wall of Seattle Central College that said, "Kill all Charlie Kirks." And that's just one of the nice messages they wrote. But understand that to cheer at death is to echo the enemy, not Jesus. Anyone who cheers at it, anyone who thinks he deserved it, anyone who thinks it's appropriate, anyone who thinks it's okay, does not have the love of God in him. The Bible says in Proverbs 2 that those who cheer death are men of perverted speech, who forsake the paths of uprightness to walk in the ways of darkness. There are men who rejoice in doing evil and delight in the perverseness of evil, men whose paths are crooked and who are devious in their ways. I know this. I know that if the tables were turned and this heinous act, God forbid, happened to someone, a high-profile liberal as well, well, guess what would have happened? There would have been riots and fires and the streets and businesses destroyed. There would have been no prayer vigils. Except maybe by the right. Because the children of God pray, but evil doesn't want you to pray. They want you silent. I learned this week. I learned it Monday night. I made the mistake of reposting a post by, believe it or not, Charlie Kirk, of all people. And it was a post that Charlie Kirk had done that was concerning the double standards of the mainstream media, right? Because the mainstream media has an agenda, and the agenda is to deceive you and to lie to you. And it involves the Ukrainian lady who was murdered on the light rail in North Carolina. She was murdered by a repeat felon. This guy had 14 priors, and yet he was still on the street, right? And he had been freed by a magistrate judge who isn't even a licensed lawyer, because in many states, sadly, you don't have to have passed the bar exam to sit as a judge and to have the power to release criminal offenders, allowing them to roam the streets again, believe it or not. And so this criminal brutally murders this Ukrainian woman, stabs her to death while everyone around them on the light rail just watches the event happen. Did you see the story? Are you aware of the story? You know, some of you are, some of you aren't. You have to ask yourself, if you didn't see it, why not? I can tell you why. At least one reason. That's because most of the major news agencies, like NBC and CNN and Washington Post and New York Times and ABC, et cetera, they either shuffled it to the back page or just went really quickly, you know, blurb, move on to something else. Or they dismissed it entirely. They didn't even need to touch on it. So Charlie Kirk calls him out. Right? He was one of the first voices to speak out and ask these supposed news agencies why they didn't really say anything. He was calling out the double standards that they have when it comes to reporting on news events like this. And he didn't just so you know, he didn't just call out news agencies. He called out pastors as well. Right? He called out many megachurch pastors who, for example, when the George Floyd incident happened, everyone remember the George Floyd incident? Right? These pastors were quick to condemn the police brutality. Or when Daniel Perry, do you remember who Daniel Perry is? He put the homeless man in the chokehold back in 2023 on, I believe, a subway incident who was acting irrational and looking to attack the passengers, and he stopped the crime from happening. What happened to Daniel Perry? He got arrested and put in jail, right? But when that Daniel thing, Perry, happened back in 2023, these same pastors were quick to claim that this homicide was racially motivated. He's a racist. He only did this because the guy was black. Yet, now we have this Ukrainian woman murdered on light rail who came to the USA to escape war and ends up getting brutally murdered. 14-time repeat offender. And most of the news agencies and most pastors were quiet as church mouses. They didn't want to speak on that. Now, obviously, I don't get the same attention as Charlie Kirk does when it comes to reposting stuff. I have like 5 followers. He has millions. There's a little bit of a difference. But minutes after I reposted that post, people who never post on anything I do, right? I'd almost forgotten they're even on my friend list. For some reason, start commenting about how racist I am. And that post was very racist of me to put it out there. And they're just surprised that me, that they knew this person, me, who's a racist. One of the ladies that commented is someone I know from Bible college. I'm not going to give out names or anything like that, but she told me that murder is murder. And what she meant by that was, c'est la vie. Right? Accept it. However, it's racism that makes her upset. And this post was hate because it was an anti-black message. So therefore, I was a racist and it upset her. It wasn't an anti-black message. It was an anti-death message. It was an anti-murder message. It was actually a pro-life message. Why aren't we paying attention to these things? Why aren't we talking about them? Why aren't we discussing them? How come they're happening? It was about double standards and on, right? But that's the left. They love double standards. They don't want to hold a discussion and have a civil debate about anything. They want to dismiss you and just call you a racist. They don't want to answer the question or sit down civilly and talk about it. There are those who do, and that's great because they are better off for it. It's amazing what you can, how you can work things out through conversation and discussion. When two people who have different, I know people who have different opinions about things than I do. I know one, and I know those who are more than willing to sit down and talk about it, even with those different views. And we don't come across hating each other. We don't leave the table thinking, I better go figure out a way to kill him as soon as I can. So there's a difference between a child of God and someone whose father is the father of lies. It's a night and day difference. It's as obvious as the nose on your face. And if you can't see it, then you're blind and I'm at a loss for words. But Wednesday, a lot of people saw it. The eyes of millions were opened up when this line was crossed, when this shot rang out. A shift happened. Maybe you felt it. I heard someone post, well, we've crossed the din mark. There's no going back. That's a reference also to the Revolutionary War. Something changed. The air is different. And a lot of people whose eyes were closed to the fact that evil even existed woke up realizing that evil is real. Yesterday, 3 million Brits marched through London. They tried to downplay it and say that only 150,000 marched, but then they showed the photos and it was obvious that they couldn't count. And there was a march for freedom because Britain's being overrun. Socialism's taking over. Radical Islam as well. And so they were marching for free speech and in defense of British heritage and culture. We call that nationalism, by the way. I know that's a bad word now today. You're not supposed to say it. We do. And they spoke out against illegal immigration, and they chanted, we want our country back. And also, almost every one of them was carrying a sign that said, God bless Charlie Kirk. And they talked to these people in the crowd, and they said, evil's real. They said, when the left is killing people, because they are speaking out for free speech and speaking out for rights, they said, we realize we're in serious trouble. If Charlie Kirk can be murdered for this, then we have to stand up and start speaking about it. And so these people, close to possibly 3 million of them, you can look up the pictures online, it was a large crowd, marched through London, speaking about freedom, talking about how everything had changed overnight. Somebody woke up. A whole bunch of people woke up. I said this was a shot heard round the world. News agencies from almost every country are reporting on it because almost every country knew who Charlie Kirk was. Hopefully Britain's not too late. I mean, they're at a fork in the road. But they've been spurred on now by the senseless death of Charlie Kirk and by seeing the left celebrate death. Charlie said this. It was a quote from Charlie Kirk. I don't believe it's an original quote. I actually believe it comes from George R.R. Martin, the guy who wrote some fantasy series whose name eludes me right now. Game of Thrones? I think the guy who wrote Game of Thrones. Anyway, he said this. When you tear out a man's tongue, you are not proving him a liar. You're only telling the world that you fear what he might say. And that's what people are waking up to. Right? Evil fears the truth. The truth is that evil exists. A lot of people have woken up to the fact that they found out that we, as it tells us in Ephesians 6, that we don't wrestle against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the cosmic powers over this present darkness, against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly places. Therefore, what are we supposed to do? We're supposed to take on the whole armor of God. That's what we're supposed to do. So that we can withstand in the evil day, having done all to stand firm. See, we need to stand firm because it tells us in 2 Corinthians that the weapons of our warfare are not of the flesh, but have divine powers to destroy strongholds. And that comes through prayer. That's the weapons of our warfare. It's unfortunate that it took a senseless death, a horrific death, like this, to wake people up. But that brings me back to where we started in Matthew 16. Because in Matthew 16, again, it says, you guys are really good at being able to tell the signs of weather. You know if it's going to rain tomorrow. You know what the weather's going to be like. You're all prepared. You're great at being able to know what the weather's like. However, you cannot interpret the signs of the times. You have no clue what's going on around you. You don't understand what's happening in your midst right now. And that's the challenge. It's the challenge. The challenge is, are you awake now? Are your eyes open now? Were they closed and are now they open? Has it taken this for you to finally realize that maybe things aren't like what I thought? The challenge is, how good are you at interpreting the sign of the times, understanding the days in which we live? The Bible's really clear about these days. It's really clear. Likens them to the birth pains. They're just going to increase. Evil's, it's going to get worse. It's going to get worse. But the Bible's also really clear about one other thing. Evil doesn't win. Evil has an expiration date. Even darkness eventually has to go away. Right. So the challenge to you is, this shot was heard around the world and the world's responding, but are you going to respond? Are you going to respond understanding that it's incredibly heartbreaking, but yet there's hope? And the hope comes from the same thing that Charlie had, which was his faith in Christ. Right? It was Charlie who said just a few days before he was assassinated, right? He said that thing I had up here in remembrance of Charlie, right? Charlie said, Jesus defeated death so you can live. I was just, he just said that a few, I mean, he probably has said that a million times, but, you know, it was just posted a few days before his assassination. See, that's where our hope is. Our hope is in Jesus. It tells us in John, and this is a sad truth, and you have to understand the meaning behind it, but John 12:24 tells us that unless a grain of wheat falls into the earth and dies, it remains alone, but if it dies, it bears much fruit. What does that tell you? That tells you that there's a meaning to death. There's a purpose to death. Purpose that sometimes we don't want to look at. or understand. But Charlie's death is going to bear fruit. How much fruit will Charlie's death bear? Only time will tell. But as Charlie's wife said in a heartbreaking video, right? She said, the cries of this widow will echo around the world. And she called the young people of this world to action, to stand up for the truth, to stand up for their faith, to stand up for free speech and such like that. You know, Charlie's organization is called Turning Point USA. He started it when he was 18 years old in the garage of his parents' house. When Charlie passed, I hate to say that, passed, he was murdered. He didn't just pass. When Charlie was assassinated, Turning Point USA had some 9,000 college chapters and about 1,100 high school chapters. I don't know if, honestly, I don't even know if there is one, if the high schools here in Snohomish have a Turning Point chapter. If they don't, someone should get on that. But the day after Charlie was assassinated, there was 18,000 requests across the nation to start new chapters. 18,000 requests. That's fruit. And that's a work of God. It's a work of God. Our hope lies in this. Evil loses. Because you can't silence truth. Because Jesus is truth. And because there's a light that never goes out, the light that never stops shining, a light that shines in the darkness, and the darkness cannot and will not ever overcome it. As it tells us in John chapter 1. No matter how dark it gets, no matter how bad it gets, and it is going to get bad. Matter of fact, I think the next 60 days in this country are probably the most important 60 days we've had in a long time that we should be praying constantly about. If you've been watching the news and what's going on in the Middle East and what's going on in Russia and Poland and all these things, right? I mean, we are this close. The darkness will never overcome the light, no matter how dark it gets. Because the light of the world, the light of Jesus, is greater and will always be greater. Always. Listen, God's word is stronger than a bullet. Literally, in some cases, if you've seen those stories and read those stories, especially during things like World War II and stuff like that, where the soldier had the bullet tucked into his vest pocket and got shot at and then pulled out the Bible, the bullet, had the Bible in his vest pocket and, you know, finds that the bullet is in it. It stopped the bullet, literally in some cases. But it is. The Word of God is stronger than the bullet. It's stronger than death. Because Jesus defeated death. Tells us in Acts chapter 2, referring to Jesus being crucified, it says that you crucified and killed by the hands of lawless men. Jesus was crucified and killed by the hands of lawless men, but God raised him up, loosing the pangs of death, because it was not possible for him to be held by it. It just wasn't possible, right? Oh, death, where is your victory? Oh, death, where is your sting? That's what Charlie's saying right now, as he's in the presence of Jesus. It tells us in Hebrews chapter 2, verse 9, that Jesus is going to be crowned with glory and honor because of the suffering of death, so that by the grace of God, he, Jesus, might taste death for everyone. Everyone. Why? So as it tells us in Hebrews 2, 14, so that through death he might destroy the one who has the power of death, and that is the devil. And that's what Jesus has done. That's what he's done. He's defeated death and destroyed the power of death that comes from the devil. Charlie understood this. It's what gave him his strength and his courage to stand up and speak boldly. That's what he spoke about almost every single time he gathered in front of a crowd of kids The conversation never went far without coming back to Jesus. He lived that throughout his whole career. The same day of his murder, to that same crowd that was watching when he was assassinated, Charlie Kirk spoke to them, and he cited 1 Corinthians 15:3-4, which says this. It says, "For I delivered to you as of first importance what I also received, that Christ died for our sins in accordance with the Scriptures, that he was buried, that he was raised on the third day in accordance with Scriptures." Charlie was preaching truth right up to the end. Right? The true life is found through the death and the resurrection of Jesus. That salvation is found when you give your life to Jesus. May Charlie be an example for us all in that. Right? An example to speak up, an example to stand firm, an example not to back down, an example to be speaking the truth in love and seeking above all else, seeking the things that are above where Christ is. But why don't we? Well, we do it out of fear. And when things like this happen, I can understand why people would be fearful. Right? I understand why people may not want to speak when things like this happen. And you're going to see all kinds of theories and stuff. I would just tell you, stay off social media, but you will see all kinds of theories and stuff that are going to be popping up. They're already starting now. Who do you think they're blaming for Charlie's death? Not the kid. Who do you think they're saying the kid worked for? I mean, it should only take you one guess. Israel. Right? They're blaming Charlie's death. He was assassinated. They're saying he's assassinated by Mossad. That's what it's coming back to already. Israel. So you're going to see, you know who was standing just feet away from Charlie when he was killed? Frank Turek. Right? Frank Turek's an apologist. He has a podcast called I Don't Have Enough Faith to Be an Atheist. Right? He's written all kinds of books. He speaks around the world. If you've done any look into, apologists and apologists today. Frank Turek is on the top of the list. If you don't know who he is, you should look him up. He is feet away from Charlie. Right? He's standing there. You can see him in some of the videos. He's wearing a white shirt, a white hat. Charlie had asked him to be there. He's a friend of Charlie's, a mentor of Charlie's. He's there with Charlie. He helped carry Charlie's body to the car. He helped drive the car to the hospital, to the trauma center. People are saying that he's involved in it. The theories are coming already out that Frank Turek was giving signs to the gunner and they're following hand signs and all this stuff, right? So you're going to see all these ridiculous things pop up in the days coming, if not right now. And you're going to see people try to reason this away with some of the most ridiculous things you've ever heard. And I'm telling you, they're all lies. Because they all come from Satan, who wants to take your vision and move it somewhere else. He wants to distract you and deceive you and have you look somewhere else instead of the truth, which is that evil exists. And evil doesn't like truth. And darkness doesn't like light. He doesn't want you to look there. Don't look there. Look, a bird, right? He wants you to look somewhere else. But I'm telling you, stay focused on God. Stay focused on his word. And let the Spirit of truth guide you into the things of truth. It tells us in 2 Timothy chapter 4, this is Paul writing to Timothy, and it's a charge, in a sense, given to Timothy, but I'm going to give it to you, because a lot of it applies. And Paul said this to Timothy, he says, "I charge you in the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who is to judge the living and the dead, and by his appearing in his kingdom, preach the word. Be ready in season and out of season. Reprove. Rebuke." Oh, but nobody wants to rebuke anymore. "And exhort," means encourage, "with complete patience and teaching. For the time is coming when people will not endure sound teaching, but having itching ears, they will accumulate for themselves teachers to suit their own passions and will turn away from listening to the truth and wander off into myths. But as for you, Timothy," he says, "always be sober-minded, endure suffering, do the work of an evangelist, fulfill your ministry." That's the same charge given to you during this time. Fulfill your ministry. What's my ministry? Your ministry is to love your neighbor as yourself. Your ministry is to love God and love your family. Your ministry is to share Jesus with people. right? And it's also to stand firm on God's word, which is why you have to be ready at all times to not only encourage people, but also rebuke people. We have to cast off cowardice, right? We have to cast off fear. We have to proclaim truth. We have to proclaim Jesus. Evil wants to divide us. And in some ways, it already has divided us. We're a divided country, a divided nation. Yet we can't allow it to continue to do so. We have to stand firm in the truth of God's word and let the love of God shine through us. But generally, some of your reactions are going to be possibly anger related, right? I mean, when we hear that they've arrested this kid who's 20, I'm going to tell you something right now. You should be praying for that kid. We need to let justice run its course. If he is the one who murdered Charlie, and all the evidence points to that, he has to go through the proper, court and jury and et cetera. If it's a death penalty, it's a death penalty. The law is the law, right? It has to be, but it does not mean he can't come to Christ. It does not mean that Christ can't reach him. Because I guarantee you, if Charlie had a voice and you could hear right now, he'd be like, someone lead that kid to Jesus. But we, when it comes to enemies, and we've been going over this in Jonah, we're not so good at wanting mercy and grace poured out on our enemies. And so our reactions sometimes are not what they should be, but we have to let the love of God shine through us. That's why it tells us in Romans 12, verses 17 and 21, it says, repay no one evil for evil. So we shouldn't be going out there arming ourselves to the teeth, looking for someone we can hunt down in reaction to whoever, right, murdered Charlie Kirk. No. We need to do what is honorable in the sight of all. It says, if possible, so far as it depends on you, live peacefully with all. Never avenge yourselves, but leave it to the wrath of God. Leave it to God. God knows exactly what happened, exactly how it went down, and exactly who did it and who's behind it, right? You think you have a conspiracy theory about what happened? You don't know what happened, but God knows what happened. And he will take care of it. Because he says, vengeance is mine. I will repay, says the Lord. Right? But it says what we should do to the contrary of that. Instead of wanting to repay evil for evil, this is what we should do. If your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he's thirsty, give him something to drink. And for by doing so, you will heap burning coals on his head. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. That's what we should be doing. And that, even in the day in which we live now, is an incredibly difficult thing to do. Because it's not necessarily our first reaction. It's not necessarily what we want to do. It's what God wants to do. So fulfill your ministry, right? Endure the suffering. Be sober-minded. Be smart. Eyes wide open. Be awake. Understand the days in which you live. But be ready, in season and out of season, to encourage, to reprove, to rebuke, so that we can turn people back to the truth of Christ Jesus, so they won't wander off in the myths, because there's a lot of myths nowadays. Overcome evil with good. A friend of ours said this, and I agree. She said, may God raise up a generation of Charlie Kirks. I hope he does. I hope God raises up a generation of Charlie Kirks. I hope that there's this upcoming generation, my kids included, right, will understand the importance of God's word, that will build that their lives on the foundation of God's word, and through that and through the strength and the encouragement and the courage that comes from that, that they will stand firm on the truth and not be ashamed to proclaim it. So yes, I hope God raises up a generation of Charlie Kirks. And even more importantly, may we turn many to Christ as we speak the truth of God's word. Amen? Let's pray. Lord, I thank you. I thank you for the fact that you are with us. It says that we should not be afraid because you are with us. Our courage and our strength comes from you. It comes from our faith in you, knowing that you are with us in the midst of times like this that break our hearts, times like this that are confusing. Times like this that we just don't know what to do sometimes. It's like, am I supposed to cry, shout, go to bed, all three? I don't, maybe. There's just so much going on. It gets cluttered and crazy. But we need to remember that you are with us, that you're in the midst of all of this. And that our faith is in you, our strength is from you, our courage comes from you. So I pray, Lord, that we can continue to be a light in the darkness and shine that light out. That we can stand true and firm on God's word and share it regardless of what other people think or what other people might say. I thank you that our salvation is in you, that you have defeated death so that we may live. I thank you for the life that you have given us and the life that is to come. I thank you. In Jesus' name, amen.